This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 17th of October, 1963. The title of this lecture is Level 4 Auditing. This tape is 91 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
All right, what's the date? 17th of October. St. Ale special briefing course. I'm going to give you a lecture today on 4. You've heard me stressing level 4 a little bit. Actually, the lectures I've been making are not particularly usable in academies and that sort of thing, as they keep talking about level 4 and interjecting it and that sort of thing. And those of you in the lower units, what you're terribly interested in, of course, is how to get TA motion and so on. And so I'll salt this level 4 down with levels 1, 2, and 3, you see, and reverse the procedure today. So you can still hear it. Now, getting TA motion is a common denominator of all Scientology activities. And you will be happy to know that on the staff co-audit, feel a little self-conscious, just been watching that film we just made, you know. And, good heavens. It's a good film. It's a good film. We all like it very much, the Congress. But on the staff co-audit and so on, they at first didn't believe, of course, and still some of them don't really quite believe, that you can simply sit there and let the TA move around at a mad rate. See? And they're learning gradually, however, and the learning rate is very interesting. Really, they're not running anything different than they were running, you know. But they went into a terrible slump. They went into a terrible slump. For a while, they were getting fair TA, you see. They were getting around 14, 15, 18, 16, that sort of thing, divisions per 2.5 hour session. See? And this was it. And then I started leaning on them to increase it. And it went down to an average of about 8 TA divisions per session, you see. They just went all to pieces, you see. Got so self-conscious about all this, you know, that it's horrible. Now they've come out of that slump. And it's interesting that they're moving up a few more TA divisions per session. Now you say, well, obviously the PC is loosening up and things are getting along better. No, it has nothing to do with it at all. The state of the case of the PC has practically nothing to do with TA motion. The sooner you get that out of your heads, that the PC has something to do with TA motion, the more TA motion you're going to get. What you do is simply sit there and get TA motion. I don't know why you're doing anything else. I don't know why you're doing anything else than just sitting there getting TA motion. It's too easy, and it's something like looking for an elephant in an empty room, you know, and there's nothing else in the room but the elephant. And one day you say to yourself, let's see now, if I don't yank the PC's attention off his case, and if I give him anything at all to Itza, and then if I don't stop him from doing what I ask him to do, I get TA motion. And you'll finally come to that conclusion as a horrible recognition and wonder what devil you were doing before. And so on. Well, I wouldn't begin to tell you what you were doing before, because they are too numerous. The variabilities are too great. One of the ways of reducing TA motion is to vary your model session. Every session, run a different model session on the PC. The motto of no TA motion is be unpredictable as an auditor. When the PC expects you to put in the R factor, get the can squeeze. Put in the R factor after you've started the session. That's good. That surprises him. But next session, correct it and put it in before you start the session. And then he says, well, his attention goes on to his case, you see. Before you've started the session, he has to suppress his case for that. Well, all right, so next session, just omit the R factor. You get the idea. This makes life very, very, very unpredictable. See what I'm talking about? PC doesn't know what's coming next. Well, this is a method of getting the PC to what's-it the auditor. What is the auditor going to do next? The PC doesn't know what the auditor's going to do next, so the PC now what's-its the auditor. And the more the PC what's-its the auditor, does this auditor know his business? What is this auditor worried about? What is this auditor going to do next? Why, the less TA motion you get. Because you've got the PC running a what's-it. And the auditor can then, of course, run an itsa. You've got the auditor then itsa-ing, and the PC what's-it-ing, and that is the reverse to getting TA action, and then you can carry on from there on out and get no TA action. You can settle down very comfortably into these particular errors, and sooner or later you suddenly get a breakthrough and a win, and you're startled to find out that something must have been happening. And you'll suddenly say, well, this session, there must be something wrong with this session because it was too easy. See, this was too easy. Now, one of them on the staff co-audit, to be congratulated on it and so forth, just rolling along the line, got 36 TA. 36 down divisions of TA. Okay? Moving it up from about 8. And not running anything very remarkable. But I'm sure the auditor in that particular case thinks that what she ran had something to do with it. Yes, something had something to do with it, but there must be a relaxation setting into the sessioning. Get the idea? So TA motion isn't being prevented. Now, the auditor is in control of the bank. That's something else that you may or may not ever believe. You are in absolute positive control of the bank. Is complete. The bank obeys you and doesn't obey the PC. The PC nearly always tries to look at what you want him to look at. The bank always does what you tell it to do. It's this sort of thing. You remind me of somebody sometimes when you get confused about this who is rolling a marble along the walk, you see, something like that, and arguing like mad about the marble won't do what you are making it do, you see. And you kick the marble, and it rolls along very nicely in the straight line, the exact straight line that you kicked it, see. And then if you kick it with a little slice or curve or something like that, it goes over into the verge of the walk, you see. Well, there are people around who say, look at what this marble is doing to me. And these people take up golf. It enters into the whole nomenclature of golf. You see, you hear them talking all the time, you see. The clubs are doing it. And my drive has a slice. My brassy gives a hook. Now, if you want to really fix a golfer, but good, he's dubbing along one way or the other. He's getting, you know, he's fair, got a handicap of 200 or 300. You know, he's a golfer. He's doing all right, see. And he can step up on the tee, and there's the ball, and he hauls off. And swoosh, down comes the driver, you see, and wham, zzz, out onto the fairway goes the golf ball and so on. He's getting along all right, see. Occasionally things happen, like he tops it, you see, or undercuts it or something, but usually something happens. Now walk up to him and say, if you just interlock your hands, you see, in the Sneed grip or something, you see, And then if you'll flex your elbows just before you do this, and then don't take your eye off the bull, and so on, your drives will be much better. Now he's in trouble. Now he's in real trouble. Now he is facing up to the fact he's not driving now a golf ball. He is interlocking his hands on the handle. He is keeping his eye on the top of the golf ball. He is doing this and he is doing that and he's doing all these other things. But he is not driving a golf ball, and the answer is, of course, he doesn't. One professional lesson can put 15 or 20 strokes on almost any dubber's score. Just one pro lesson, and he's had it. Now let's take some 12-year-old kid, and we take him outside, and we hand him a set of golf clubs, and we say, all right, now there's the ball, and you put up on the tee and drive it down the fairway and so forth. Funny part of it is he's actually liable to connect. He's liable to connect, and he goes on, and he fools around, and he plays golf and so forth. Now we want to do him a big favor. He's going around now in about 110, you see, or something like that. Let's do him a big favor. Let's get him some professional lessons. Well, for a long time, his score will just increase, see? And he'll go into absolute despair, finally, on the thing. But somewhere along the line, he starts to coordinate again and select out what's essential and so forth, and it comes back, and he drifts back to a point where he is actually driving the golf ball again, and he starts making remarkable strides. Now, unfortunately, it is necessary for somebody to go over this period. It's necessary in order to play golf or to own it. Now, Reg on Sunday here, with the people he has here, he's got them chattering nicely to each other. You know, they're putting in the it's line. They're auditing each other at home. They don't know what to do wrong, you see. And they very, very happily get along, and they listen to each other, and their fundamentals are this and that, and they're all in and so on, and their TA motion's probably fair. And all seems to be going along very well. Well, you look at this as an auditor, and you say, those guys must be naturals. No, those guys are auditing unconsciously. They're ignorant. And ignorance is bliss in that particular case. And here's the test. The second there's just a little more sand in the trap, the second that there's just a slightly greater dog leg on that particular hole, they've had it. They're through. The second that the PC says to them, oh, I don't know, the pain's moved up to the top of my head now, they go, they end the session instantly and come back and ask Sunday what they should have done. And one fellow did that, and he said this very excitedly about this, and all of a sudden he got a sort of a filmy look in his eye, and he said, you know, I should have kept the session going, shouldn't I have? His own cognition, he found out something about it. Those guys would be dead ducks if they ran into a ripple on the sea, if they ran into a pebble on the green, if anything happened, if the wind was a little bit higher that day, they're dead. Now, what makes a pro is actually being able to go over this hump and go all the way through it and get something at the other side. Now, he becomes almost unshakable when he can do this. He'll carry on. He'll do the right thing. And when you introduce a new style of auditing, such as listen-style auditing, why, the auditing of a lot of auditors shatters promptly. And one of the errors they make is to make formal auditing adapt itself to listen-style auditing. It's like teaching somebody to dance. You teach him a polka, as it says in the bulletin, something like that. You teach him a waltz. Well, he doesn't differentiate between the fact that a polka is quite different than a waltz. And right in the middle of the waltz, he starts polkaing, and right in the middle of the polka, he starts to waltz. Well, that's because he doesn't realize the tremendous difference between the two dances. And yet, a good dancer would be able to polka or waltz at will, knowingly, without going all over the place. Now, I won't minimize the fact that formal auditing has been altered to some degree, in that you should let the PC itza the item, or itza the goal. And you shouldn't stop the PC from itzing what the PC is supposed to be itzing. That's for sure. But that is the only lesson in formal auditing that is learned from listen-style auditing. That's all. You sit in formal-style auditing, letting somebody itza his bank, or itza his items, or itza his GPMs, and you're going to have a mighty sick PC on your hands. All right, what do you think your first goal is? Now sit back, inviting communication, listen-style auditing. That's it. Let PC talk for 2 hours and a half. You're going to get yourself some tone arm action, that's for sure. Next session. Now, what do you suppose your first goal is? That was the auditing question you were working on. Sit back and don't do anything. Sit back and invite communication. You're going to get a little less TA. Next session. What do you suppose your first goal is? Sit back, invite communication. You're going to get a lot less TA. Next session. What do you suppose your first goal is? TA stuck 5 1/2. Thud. Unmoving, frozen in concrete. Why? Because the factor of overstimulation gets in your road. Very important factor. Don't let somebody wander amongst the GPMs and RIs endlessly if you want TA action. Why? Well, because they can't do it. That's why. Well, why can't they do it? Well, the reason they can't do it is contained in the RIs and GPMs. So you've got a circular activity going on here. You are locating the things that prevent them from itzing. And therefore, if they re-stimulate the things that prevent them from itzing, they won't be able to itza. You see, this is the snake eating his tail. You're dealing with very high-powered stuff. This is the backbone of aberration in the case. There's no greater aberration in the case than is contained in the goals, GPMs, and RIs of the PC's actual goals as they roll on back. Now, if you ever want any facts about this, if you ever want to see this in actual operation or action, and you want to practically smash up PC to find out about it and establish the matter, all you'd have to do is you had a lot of goals given you back around 43 trillion years ago in an area called the Heliotropous Implant area. Now, let's move you back there. Now, all right, now you just tell me all about the goals in that area that you were given. I know anybody that's been over this stuff would just shudder with horror. It's like something like asking somebody to go up the top of the Empire State Building and be a bird. He's going to be hit left, right, and center by charge. Everything is going to go black on him. The more he looks at things, the blacker it gets. The more he tries to move, the more he'll become fixed on the track. The more goals he picks up, the more jammed he's going to get. The more mass he's going to pick up, and he won't recognize the mass properly anyhow, so he'll get all wrong masses, all wrong names for the items. He hasn't got the patterns. You're not giving him any assistance of any kind whatsoever. Now just take that as an example. And if you doubt me, why, and don't have nerve enough to actually go the whole hog with somebody, Just throw somebody in the Hellotrobus implant area and watch the behavior of tone arm. And then somehow, if you can, run the session out. Now, there's stuff on the back track that bites. Level 4 is all sub itza. It's all sub itza. The thing which reduces the PC's ability to itza is contained in the materials of level 4. It's contained in those materials. So the re-stimulation, but not the discharge of those materials, and they will not discharge because there's no way for him to tell what is what, the re-stimulation of that will therefore reduce his ability to itza. Now, if you're just looking at it, all right, what's your first goal? Fine, all right, give me the two top RIs. Oh, fine, I'll just write those down here. All right, that's good. Let me the next pair of RIs. Good, I'll write those down. Ah, thank you very much. What do you suppose your next pair of RIs is in that GPM? Oh, well, good, I'll write those down. Oh, that's fine. Now, I suppose, as you said, don't say there's nothing more much in that goal. All right, though, that's fine. Give me the second goal on the line. All right, that's what you say it is. Okay, I'll write that down. That's fine. Now, give me the top RI. What's the matter? I seem to be getting a TA here. Have I cut your itza line? Have I stopped you from telling me something? TA seems to be stuck up here. I seem not to be getting any tone arm motion. Let's see now. Oh, all right, I'll do an ARC break assessment for the session, you see. All right, is this re-stimulation of an earlier cut communication in the session? Is this re-stimulation of an earlier rejected affinity? And so on. I don't seem to get anything to read here. Oh, well. Well, let's see. On auditing now. What about auditing? What about auditing? What solutions have you had for auditing? I'll get somewhere now. What solutions have you had for auditing? Half an hour later. TA now is at 525. Oh? Well, let's see. Maybe I can send him back to goals of sessions, old session goals. You know, here's an old session goal, to lose my lumbosis. We used to have good action on that. All right, now, let's go back into this again because we can really get someplace now. Now, give me some solutions for lumbosis. What solutions have you had for your lumbosis? Of what? All right. Good. Good. Five. Stuck. There is nothing known, and I'm sure nothing will ever be known, that will take that TA down, except level 4, the right goal, the right item. It's just going to go on up, and it's just going to stick, and the only direction it's going to go is higher. And the more you keep at this type of nonsense, the less tone arm action you would have. Your tone arm action would drop to zero for the session itself, and maybe on your since mid roots and so forth to 1. And then, if you kept up this nonsense, would drop to 0 for the session, and 0 for the mid roots, and 0 for everything else. And you'd see that needle start to stiffen. And that needle would go stiffer and stiffer and tighter and tighter. And if you kept up this nonsense, you all of a sudden would take the PC backwards through 7 and find the PC sitting at 1. Now, if you still kept up this nonsense and so forth, you would eventually move the PC to clear read with a total stuck needle, dead theta. And a very sick PC it would be. So it's all very well, to talk about how you must listen to the PC when it comes to level four, the liabilities of using listen-style auditing. The liabilities of using that as the exclusive approach are enormous. Now, this is the level of the one-man band. This is no time to have an auditor worrying about his hook into the trees. This is no time to have an auditor who gets spooky because he misses a putt. Now look, he has to keep in the ITSA line and not cut the PC's ITSA on the goals and RIs which the PC is supposed to be operating on. He's supposed to keep the PC out of trouble on the track. He's not supposed to let the PC wander all over the place on the track. And he's not supposed to cut the ITSA line. Now those are two interesting counterposed data. You mustn't let the PC idly ITSA on the track, and you mustn't really push the PC all over the track either. And you mustn't, of course, cut the PC's ITSA. Now look at this as a problem. What's the solution to this problem? PC starts to look on the far back track, and the auditor says, we're not going to go into that now. The bypass charge of what the PC has already restimulated kicks in, and you've got a beautiful roaring ARC break. You understand that? So this isn't a minor problem. This is a major problem. And it's no time at that level to have an auditor worrying about his putting, worrying about shiny clubs or dull clubs, which... It's no time to be worrying about any of the niceties of auditing. This auditor's got to know all the niceties of auditing. He's got to be a pretty smooth article. This is no time to have an auditor who can't keep his model session straight. This is no time to have an auditor who is still queasy about, let's see, what is a rocket read? Let me see, I heard of one once. I wonder what it is. Do you suppose, where's the instructor? Is this a rocket read? This tick. This is no time to have that kind of thing going on. Level four is the Scientologist level. It's a one-man band level. Do you know how you solve the backtrack problem? The solution to this, of not let the PC wander on the track and get his attention all stirred up all over the place, is a complex solution, but a very workable solution. You just have to be able to audit like a streak of light. You just audit so fast, you list so fast, and you null so fast, and you keep going so accurately, and you never halt any place along the line, and the PC never gets a chance to have his attention wander. It's a case of attention wandering. You simply are so positive in what the PC's attention is on that the PC never has an opportunity to draw his breath and wander. Now, I'll give you an idea. It's very easy to make a PC wander on his attention. Very easy. Let's have an auditor. Of course, the basic action of listing, and the question is, can you write as an auditor, I spit 50 times, and then read back, I spit 50 times. Can you do that? Well, if you can't do that easily and without vast misgivings, you'll have trouble somewhere along the line of listing and nulling, because that's the basic action of listing and nulling. Can you just do those two things? Not even look at a meter. Can you just do those two things? You write, I spit 50 times, and read, I spit back 50 times. That's all. Because that's actually all there is to listing and nulling. You write down what the PC says and you read it back. I mean, there are no complications to listing and nulling. Now, how long do you list? Well, that's all wound up in the bag now. There's nothing much to that. Goals lists are almost always underlisted, and item lists are almost always overlisted. And you can make the goals list as long as you possibly can, and you may still have underlisted.
and an item list. Make it as short as you possibly can, and you may have overlisted. Those are the two great sins. The constant fight of a level four auditor. The constant fight of a level four auditor. You go on, you're running this goals list on the PC, you see. My God, you've gone 50 past your last RR, but your needle is still slashing. Every once in a while, there's a surge. That goal isn't on the list. It's still going tick and clack and surge. About every third goal a fella puts down, you get a nice, big, healthy surge. Needle goes across. Whoa, that goals list not complete. Complete goals list doesn't have any needle action. There isn't any needle action. Doesn't matter what goal he puts on this list, now there is no needle action. And on a goals list, there is no TA action at the time the list is complete. No needle action, no TA action. It's all completely flat. And that goals list is complete, and that is the only safe goals list there is. You'll get lucky sometime, bless you, on a one-goal list. And you'll check it all out, and you've hit it right on the button. And the next time the PC will give you a one-goal list, and even though it doesn't read on the meter, you skip two GPMs, you start listing the thing, you wrap the PC around the telegraph pole, and you spend the next three or four sessions trying to unsnarl this god-awful mess. Okay. Trouble with level four is you can get lucky. Every time you get lucky, you learn a bad habit. I've seen a one-goal list that is perfectly accurate. And I've seen a PC cognite on his goal, and it was perfectly accurate. But I've seen a PC do a one-goal list that was completely inaccurate, even though the goal fired and it was used, and God help us. And I've seen a PC cognite gorgeously upon his goal on the list, done it myself, and it turned out not to be the goal for that list. In fact, it only turned out to be an actual goal, not an actual GPM. The next 5 hours of auditing after that fact, I wouldn't wish on Khrushchev. Horrible. You're running with the wrong goal and you don't know it. These are the liabilities of luckiness. PC cognites, bang, he says, oh, my goal is to spec, ha ha, I got it, that's it, that's all, that's it, that's the list. The auditor said, well, I just don't dare ARC break the PC and continue listing. The PC said, that's it, now I've cut the PC zitsa. If I don't take this, I've refuted it. Well, you've got dodges such as this particular character. All right, fine, that fired very well and blew down. However, I have to take all the charge off of the goals list between the GPMs, so we'll just have to list here for a little while. And this is the auditing question. We just have to make sure, you see. Not make sure that it is your goal. We're not interested in that. We just have to take the charge off of this list. And the charge is off the list. Why, fine. If it's not off the list, we will have to take it off. And the PC will sit there, just usually like a little soldier, and go ahead. Unless you said, well, I can't help it. I can't accept that goal. No, I don't dare accept that. I've got to have a complete list. I know, you keep saying your goals are spent. I can't pay any attention to that. Well, of course, you've got an ARC broken PC because you refuse these goals. So the trick is, of course, to accept the goal with wide open arms and do your job. Okay? Always do your job. Always accept the PC's itza. And then do what you have to do. That's adroit. There is no substitute for being adroit. No substitute for a live auditor in that chair. He knows if he cuts the PC zits line, he's going to smash up the session. And he knows if he accepts that PC's cognition without any further check of whatsoever, he's liable to smash up not only that session, but the next four. Takes the lesser of the two evils. He runs the risk of smashing up the session without cutting the PC zitza. And boy, that is difficult. Sometimes that is very difficult, but you can be very adroit. Oh, your goal is to spit. Yeah, rocket reads, reassurance. See, hope factor, good R factor. Good. Blew down. I had a blowdown here on that. He says that is, so on. He goes on, he talks about it for a little while. Oh, sure, let him talk about it. And you say, well, that's all right. That rocket reads beautifully to spit. Rocket reads nicely. And that blew your TA down from 4.5 down here to 2.75. That's very good. All right. Anything else you'd like to say about that? All right, that's fine. Good enough. Had a lot of good cognitions. All right. Now we got to take the remaining charge off of this list. And here's the listing question. Has no doubt about this. This goal, we put it right here. I've marked it with a red circle around it and so forth. There's that goal. We've got to take the charge off this list. Charge in between the backs. PC will sit back and list for you. Perfectly fine. And 50% of the time, it turns out that to spit was it. But what if it wasn't that 50% this time? What if it was the other 50%? You get the idea. PC will get used to this situation. Now, it's true that if you cut the PC zitza at level 4 auditing, his R with his bank folds up and he gets less and less real. So you must do everything at level 4 to promote the PC zitza. Well, you say, this is a hell of a thing. You have to promote the PC zitza while cutting the PC zitza. Well, there are many ways to do it. I'll go on and give you some of these. But first, let's go back and take a look at this. How do you keep him from wandering all over the backtrack? Every time you sit back and draw a long breath, every time you say to, I can't quite read my writing, excuse me. To spit. Oh, yeah, to spit. All right, thank you. Anything was suppressed on that or anything? All right, thank you. All right, that put that sound. During that period of time, you were not in control of the PC's itza-ing attention line, that itza-maker. You weren't in control of it. You weren't in control of the bank. You showed you weren't in control of the bank by being fumbly with a list. So you're in absolute control of the bank, and if you fumble a list, the bank will fumble. So the bank fumbles, unseen to you. The PC's line is on the point where you fumbled. Therefore, the bank is shifted underneath that scanner. And, of course, the PC's attention goes off onto other things because you've shifted other things into his view with your... I have to get the mid-roots in on this now because I guess I've made a mistake on it, haven't I? Sorry. That bank is going to move. Therefore, your PC's going to get his attention on something else. That PC's now going to say... Hey, you know, you can always expect after you've goofed like this, if you're real observant of your own auditing and you're studying a tape of you doing level 4, which you should do someday, you will see that a short time after one of these fumbles, the PC will come up with some yickle-yack. Not necessarily crude, not necessarily critical or anything like that. He's in the ARC broke in any fashion, but he's got a lot of comments. See? Adds another 4 or 5 goals to a complete list. Get the idea? Something else goes on. In other words, you did something that showed you did not have control of the PC's bank. You distracted the PC's itza-maker line, see? And you distracted that and played it on something else, shifted the bank underneath it with this goof you made with this list, see? And you're going to get some other stuff. See why? It isn't neat and clean. You're, it gets sputtered up at that particular point. All right, that's the substance of an ARC break. If the PC has any bypass charge at that particular time, it's that goof will key it in, or cutting his ITSA line will key in the ARC break. Key in the bypass charge, and you'll get the ARC break. So that the more these little goofs and yickle-yacks which you get into here, the more ARC breaks you're going to have per session. The number of ARC breaks or upsets which the PC has, the more wanderings the PC's attention has been, the more cut his ITSA line has been. These things are all in coordination. So a guy who's doing a clumsy job on listing and knowing, it's can you write, I spit 50 times and read it back. Okay. And if you can't write, I spit 50 times and read it back, when you're writing the complexity of 50 goals and reading them back, that additional complexity will show up the inability to do the simple action. And you stumble on these simple points. That shows you don't have control of the bank, and so loses control of the bank for a moment, you see. Do you know that if you read two goals backwards or upside down on a list, you disarrange the bank? Let's go up two goals and read one out of sequence just to see if it fired, and then drop three goals. No, don't read those, and read the fourth one down to resume our list. And you put the PC in a little tiny bit of a creak, because what you've done is roll the bank backwards, and then you haven't rolled it forward again. If you go back to read a goal, you actually should keep on going from that goal right straight on through, see? You should be able to write, I spit 50 times and read it back, in other words. Not take the 47th spit, get to the 47th, I spit, and then decide that the 35th ought to be read again. Because when you do that, you've disrupted the reel off of the reactive bank. See, the time factor, you see, that bank is timed. And it's running off underneath the scanner, you might say, very nicely until you all of a sudden get to the 47th and read the 35th. Or you suddenly don't read what's there. I spaticated, you say, and of course it's I spit at that point of the bank, and so you've got an error point. These are not serious. They do nothing to a case, but they do a great deal to your session. That moment, the PC's tension gets dispersed. And that dispersed tension now leads him to ITSA all over the cockeyed time track. You see how that is? It is so mechanical an action that it's almost unbelievable to an auditor that he could do this much to a PC with a little piece of randomness of this particular character. So he's reading, I spit. And he says, I spit. Oh, and the one above that was I spat. I said I spat, and that's actually I spit. I'll read that again. I spit. Now we'll go down three below this, and we will read, I spit. You, of course, stirred up that part of the bank. The PC is not quite able to confront it anyway. The PC disperses. His scanner line comes off of tension because you've yanked it onto the auditor, one of the reasons. You've put it on so that it didn't fit squarely up against the bank. It goes off onto something else. It re-stimulates a little more charge, don't you see? Next thing you know, the PC's saying something else about something else. If he has any bypass charge at that moment, you've laid in the seed of an ARC break. You do that two or three times, and if you really got some bypass charge in the session, see, bypass charge in a session will just lie dormant. There's always bypass charge in a session. Always. You can't run a session that doesn't have some bypass charge in it, either from former sessions or the session you're running or from the life around you. If you're going to go through the beautiful dream of having a PC who has no bypass charge of any kind whatsoever, knock off the hop, wake up. You're just dreaming with the opium addicts, man. Because there is no such thing. The key-in of bypass charge is always some comm failure. All you've got to do is unnecessarily cut up the PC's communication line, refute his ITSA in a dozen different ways, knock it around, and put some session charge in there, which bypasses charge in the session. That restimulates the bypass charge, which is waiting to be restimulated, and only that gives you your ARC brake. You can, in actual fact, run a PC with a wrong goal without an ARC brake. Of course, it's rough on the PC. I mean, he's got a wrong goal. You aren't necessarily running that goal, you understand, but you have found a wrong goal on the case. Well, now, man, a wrong goal will just about tear somebody's head off. And the PC can sit there, actually, with his head half torn off. And if you are a very smooth auditor indeed, you would audit without giving the PC a single ARC brake. He wouldn't ARC brake. You see, it isn't true that bypass charge equals ARC brake. ARC brake always equals bypass charge. But bypass charge does not always equal an ARC brake. That formula requires bypass charge via rough spot in auditing via session key-in of a cut comm or some other such thing equals bypass charge. I mean, equals ARC brake. So that's only how an ARC brake adds up when you look at it in reverse. Now, an ARC brake, then, does not always come about because you bypass charge. You find a wrong goal on the PC, this does not equal ARC brake. This may equal a very uncomfortable PC. In other words, bypass charge does not equal ARC brake. But an ARC brake is always traceable to bypass charge. I'll go over that again for you, so there's no doubt in your mind. I mixed it up there a moment. If you have an ARC brake, there must be some bypass charge. See, that's always true. But just because there is bypass charge, there's no reason there's got to be an ARC brake. Whether there is or is not an ARC brake by reason of the bypass charge is totally conditional, utterly and completely conditional, upon the auditor. Of course, the more bypass charge there is in the session, the less mistake the auditor has to make to kick it in. Now, this depends then on the auditor. Some little goof, little cut comm, usually a cut communication of some kind or another, a refuted ITSA. Got a bypass charge here. Actually, three sessions ago, you inadvertently, when you're coming up the line, found a wrong goal. It's still sitting there. It hasn't given anybody any trouble up to this moment. The PC just feels a little creaky occasionally, but it's not complaining about it. See? You've audited two sessions since. No ARC breaks. Everything's going along all right. The PC is looking around dreamily at the start of session or something like this, and the auditor takes over and starts the session badly. PC said, I was having a little bit of a tough time this afternoon talking to so-and-so, and, all right. Now, all right with you if I start the session now? That'll sit there. And it doesn't take the drop of a pencil to blow in a screaming ARC brake. It's been keyed in. Right? The apparent impatience of the auditor, you see, to do something. The cut comm. The auditor's apparent refusal to let the PC look at his bank. Just a little rough spot that gives the PC some dispersion, and then a cut line on that rough spot. And pow, you've got your ARC brake. And every ARC brake you get on a PC must have gone through that cycle. There are no ARC brakes that don't go through that cycle, so don't kid yourself. Just because you didn't spot how you cut the communication, just because you didn't spot how you chopped the ITSA, just because of this, don't think there wasn't a cut comm. If you'd had a tape running on the session, take my word for it, you could have wound that tape right square back to that point of the session, he would have, where the ARC brake occurred, and then go anything up to 10 minutes to a half an hour, sometimes even an hour and a half earlier. All depends on how much session there was. And you would have found, dead on the ARC break, you would have found some little misdemeanor on the part of the auditor, and then wind it back there anywhere from that point back an hour and a half earlier, you would have found a nice, nasty one. Crude as this. They're crude, these things. You're not actually auditing on a tight wire, see? I mean, it's a big, broad highway, and if you don't drop any stoves on it, you see, and don't cut holes in the concrete, you get along fine. It's actually that magnitudinous. You look back there, but the tragedy is when an auditor doesn't look at these things as magnitudinous and blames the PC for all this stuff happening after pulling corny actions of this particular character. So here's the PC. And the PC saying, you know, I think we had a... I'm not quite sure, but I think we had an over-list on something. I think we've had an over-list on something. I just think we have. I think we must have over-listed someplace or another. I think we went too far on an RI or something. He's guessing at something, see, like that. Oh, well, all right. Here's your next list question. Well, you say, well, that isn't bad. No, that isn't bad. But then you will find out that it actually went like this. I really don't think we should go on listing on this list. There's something wrong here someplace. All right, well, here's the question. There'll be a forcingness of some kind or another will be going on here, see? Are those are the most innocent examples that can cause this three-day-old wrong goal to suddenly kick. See? PC doesn't know what it is. He merely knows there's something wrong. And he usually says it very gently in some particular fashion, and the auditor just misses it clean and slams the barn door on the thing, and he's got the show on the road. Now this thing is going to roll. He's opened the door to the hurricane. And they always happen like that. And it's too bad that you can't review some of the more serious ARC breaks you had to give the truth of this situation. It would cure you utterly of stumbling and fumbling and being unadroit at level 4. It would just cure you of it if you could hear exactly how corny the thing was. Because it's plenty corny. This is true of all these types of ARC breaks and misdemeanors. Now look. The people that Reg teaches here on Sunday, they sit down and they look at each other, see? They can audit. Oh, yeah, they're having a good time. They sit down and look at each other, and one of them talks about life and so forth, and they undoubtedly get tonar motion and so forth. That is one god-awful distance. That's through the whole training of the game of golf between there and the pro. See, that's a long, long distance. And for one of those characters to try to take up with PC, whether it is the right goal or the wrong goal, in such a way as not to ARC break the PC and handle that thing to a successful ARC broke conclusion, is about the same as watching a man intently to see if he's going to flap his wings and fly off to the sun. They just wouldn't have a prayer. Well, there's where you're going, don't you think? Now, when you've got yourself a good, smooth grip on the situation, so it doesn't worry you whether the PC is talking. It doesn't worry you to have the PC talking. It doesn't worry you to have the PC not talking. This having a PC there, talking or not talking, or doing or not doing, and so forth, is not a great subject of worry. To where you can move the bank around, it will. You know, the bank moves to whatever the auditor says. And the PC looks at whatever the auditor tells him to. You learn that real good, and you all of a sudden see what you're doing. Bank, anything will appear. You can say the date 1492 forcefully to a PC, and you've moved the bank, 1492. You can even, oddly enough, move the bank to May the 3rd at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 1492. You can move it to 201. You can move it to 202. And you will have exactly what the PC was looking at that time and date. Now, you may have to move him through it several times to obscure the intervening murk. You may have to have the duration of the incident if you land in the middle of an engram. But it's like developing pictures, all the auditor's got to say. 1492, May the 3rd, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The PC's got it. That is it. Now, if the auditor is so corny, he doesn't realize that he's put it there, and then ask the PC what he is looking at, very unconfidently, you see. You're not looking at anything there, are you? I mean, anything there. Of course, the auditor's moved the bank back out again, you see, by being uncertain of its location. And then if the auditor doesn't know that he has to get the PC to scan that area very enthusiastically before he finally will be able to develop the picture thing, why, of course, he will never learn that he can do this. But it in itself would be almost an auditing practical exercise, a cross between the auditing section and the practical section. Move the PC to 1067. At 8 o'clock in the evening, and find out what he was doing. Oh my God, how could you do that? How could you possibly do that? Elementary. Elementary. You simply say 1067, 8 o'clock in the evening, you know, whatever the date is. That's all. The bank will respond to that. And then all you have to do is tell the PC to put the old scanner on it and scrub it up. One of the ways of doing that is to move the PC. See, actually, it's not moving the bank, you're moving the PC. Over the area. Move them from 759 to 810. On a certain date, a certain hour. Move them once, move them twice, move them three times, move them four times, and all of a sudden, I did it with one guy one time. He actually was dead in his head, solid concrete. He wasn't a special type of case of any kind whatsoever. That's just patience on the part of the auditor. I even remember the date, I think. It was January the 3rd. Forgotten what year it was. January the 3rd. I think it must have been 1950 was the date I moved into. He couldn't see anything. And took him at that hour of the morning when he developed that he had entered his office at that hour of the morning. I thought we'd get him eating breakfast or something. He entered the office at that hour of the morning. We developed the next half hour. And we just got him to enter his office and develop the next half hour. Entered his office and went through the next half hour. Entered his office and went through the next half hour. Entered his office and went through the next half hour. And after we'd done this about a half a dozen times, he was reading his mail word by word. Addresses that he had never even vaguely remembered were firmly printed on the envelopes in front of his face. He was highly intrigued. See, it was a non-significant date. Nothing had happened on January the 3rd, you think. He first tried to figure it out, you know. Figure it out, you know. I didn't interrupt this. I just kept moving the somatic strip, you see, just moving his time track through that particular time and getting the PC to look at it and move it through that little time span, get the PC to go through that time span, and move it through the time span. An auditor would become very intrigued with the fact that he actually was moving the strip and the PC was looking at whatever he said. These are very positive actions. There isn't any doubt about it whatsoever. Just because the PC doesn't see it, is no proof that you haven't got the strip there and got the PC's attention on it. Now, of course, there's this bungle. You can move him into something which sticks him and then rough him up so that he and the bank don't follow any instructions and not arrive. See, there are very, very many ways by which you don't arrive, but they're all along the lines of bypassing charge, refusing to handle the PC's attention line, the Itza maker, refusing to move the strip for something there to look at. And these things add up to an impossibility to do it. But you can take almost anybody as an auditor, and a pro ought to really be able to do this. Take your landlady and say, well, maybe she's 40 years old or something like that. And you say, all right, that's 40 years, 20 years ago. 1943, it might have meant the war, but I walk him into a bombing explosion. We go much earlier, however. Let's take 1947. Let's take 1947. All right, now let's pick out a non-significant date, 1947. Of course, an auditor's always going after significant dates, so you forget the vast number of non-significant dates, which the PC finds them very easy to confront, don't you see? You're always adjudicating whether or not the PC is there and confronting, because you're running a hell of an engram, some dentist halfway down his throat, you know. Oh, you can't confront it? I guess there must be something wrong with my auditing, you know. Hell, he couldn't confront it at the time. But let's scout around a little bit, discussion, and let's get May the 15th, 1947, and let's take it at random, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and let's find everything between 3 o'clock in the afternoon and 4 o'clock that afternoon. A non-significant date. You all of a sudden find that you're actually moving the strip and moving the PC's attention, and the PC is just doing it, just like that. See? And next thing you know, well, I walk into the kitchen and I put on the tea kettle. Okay? PC be very intrigued. I've never had him revolt against doing this. Walk into the kitchen, I put on the tea kettle and so forth. The next thing you know, my God, she's even tasting the biscuits, you know? Quite remarkable. Reading the tea caddy and so on. Trying to get PCs to get pictures on the track, you get the date and the duration of the incident on the back track. You can turn on any picture. And R3R is a conclusion of old Dianetics. It's a triumph because the reason we couldn't run engrams on some people, don't you see, is they couldn't see them. Well, in R3R, you can always get them to see and be the engram. I mean, that's dead easy. But this non-significant gag actually doesn't really require this much nonsense. Of course, you take somebody who's very aberrated and doesn't know what the hell you're doing and is none of your control and is ready to jump out the window and is you're sure you're the dentist and all that sort of thing, you're, of course, not going to produce a result amount to anything. They still will do what you tell them to do, but they won't be able to report on it. That's the main thing. The communication line is too lousy. And your doubt and the upsets you get into in trying to get them to do it, then stir up things and disperse them and that sort of thing. But ordinarily, this is a very easy activity. Take some non-significant moment in the person's past, move that non-significant moment under their attention, scan that moment, and get it fully redeveloped. All right. Now, there's a very minor action. Supposing you didn't permit the PC to tell you what the PC was seeing. That's an elementary auditing situation, see? You see, understood in the session is a command that the PC sort of is supposed to communicate to you because you're doing it, so obviously you must want to know. See? So if you present at that moment the bank and then prevent the PC from reporting on what the PC says, and there are several ways by which you can do this. One is to demand more than is there. That's the most effective ARC breaky method, because you got him now the missed withhold of nothing. And you can do various things with that communication line, all of them very mucky, which will upset the general operation. And here we're dealing with a non-significant thing. We're dealing with from 3 to 4 on May the 15th, 1947, when she went in, actually, and put on a tea kettle and made a pot of tea and went down and sat at her table there in the kitchen and ate some biscuits and drank tea. Total action. Significance, absolutely zero. She may get confused. She's done this so often. How come really is this May the 15th? She may doubt this or something like that. But all of a sudden, even that doubt will come away, and she will know that it's that time she did this same action that she's done thousands of times, you see. It's that sharp. All right. Now, take that situation. Take that situation and figure out the number of ways you could louse up that person. That you could prevent this action from happening. One, not believe that you were moving the date underneath the PC's attention. Do a psychologist stunt. I've challenged the experiment all the time so it doesn't work. Psychologists are wonderful at this. It's no wonder they never find out anything. You ought to see a crew of those Martians work. You really ought to see a bunch of them work. I mean, you roll on the floor. By the way, I made a comment on one of these lectures one day that you really wouldn't believe what I tell you about what psychiatrists do to the insane. You probably wouldn't believe it because it's just too extravagant. There's too much, and you possibly just think I'm talking. But if you have some reservation, why don't you go down to the local mental hospital and take a look at some of this treatment? Well, actually, in a PE course down in South Africa, an official in the government heard that tape, which I gave you here, and he said, "That's a good idea. Ron says I ought to go down and take a look." All right, I will. So he did. He wrote me a report, which can't be released because he got it as a government official, of what he observed, you see. You actually would be stunned by it. They just take 220 volts and bang it between somebody's temple, and they all go blue and bust them up gorgeously. And it's real wild. There's a couple of nurses you see apathetically throwing patients down on the bed and doing this with them. And just a long assembly line, and he looked up at the wall and he saw a whole bunch of picture with a whole bunch of psychiatrists in it, and they all seemed relatively young, but they were marked off as most of them dead. And the head of the institution said, "Yes, that's true, most of them were dead. They just seemed to all die young in this particular business." Didn't seem to strike me as peculiar. Now, of course, I shouldn't be releasing that much of the report, and I haven't released the actual mental shock report to you. But it was interesting. He went down, he found out it just ran this way, see? This is the way it goes. Unbelievable. Nobody thinks it cures anything. It doesn't do anything for anybody. He even told you, see, that nobody knows why it works, if it works. See, this is all what wall. He didn't believe something like that could go on in this planet. Well, this type of attitude carried through onto a psychological experiment. They did at the UCLA, somebody, you're supposed to say a phrase to somebody who was asleep and then audit it back out and recover the phrase, you see. So the conditions of the experiment were set up, they were only supposed to say this phrase, they weren't supposed to say anything else. So they walked in, dragged the tape recorders in, made all kinds of comments and upsets, and fell over the chairs and hooked up the tape recorders, discussed the whole thing, and then they knew it couldn't work, and some of the fellows says, "Well, he won't be able to remember it anyway." And they went on like this for 2 hours. And then couldn't make up their mind what remark to give the fellow to be remembered. They'd neglected writing that out, you see. And at that time, scrubbed the whole experiment, didn't try to get it back, and concluded Dianetics didn't work. Well, you associate with people hanging from trees, you get remarks of people hanging from trees. We ought to find a nice forest for those guys. Anyway, this is their idea of a controlled experiment. Of course, you attack a phenomenon with that fantastic carelessness. Of course, nothing ever happens. You never get a chance to observe any part of it. Did anything happen? You couldn't tell. Well, so you have to kind of wash all that out and stop worrying about whether he did or he didn't, or would he or wouldn't he, and so forth. You just do it, and it works every time. In other words, the auditor's in direct control of the PC's time track. And the PC always cooperates, putting his attention on what the auditor says. And out of this combo, you can do almost anything on non-significant moments and that sort of thing. You can do the most phenomenal things. Why anybody ever had to hypnotize Bridie Murphy, I don't know. I don't know. It just required a little bit of patience. If you wanted to know what somebody was doing, you want to know what somebody was doing, you'd have to get a time span the person was in. The person might not have been on this planet 500 years ago, you see, or something like that. There's that possibility. So you have to get a time span in which the person actually was there and a location in which the person was there to make any sense. Because you can't say 1492 to somebody who didn't arrive here till 1493, you see, and didn't even know the date, 1492, when it did happen. But you could take it on years ago and undoubtedly land with it very handily. So move it back on any time span, any almost any random date. See, because you're going after aberration, you're accustomed to picking up the cause of a psychosomatic, or the cause of this, or the cause of that. And you overlook these other simplicities. The total simplicity of the fact is that if the psychosomatic lies there, well, good heavens, his drinking tea lies there. Oh, you say, well, he only made a picture of the cycle. No, that isn't true. They've just been up there cranking away, man. They got that camera going. It can always replay. You can just pick a random time, sometimes a rather fantastic time. You could pick 7,455,672,463,572 years ago. All right. Let's pick that up. Now we could even add a decimal on the end of it. 0.935. Give that to the PC, but you don't give it to the PC and have him move the time track. You simply, you know, hand it out to the time track directly. See? And get the PC now to go over that little, giving him a time span in that, of what he was doing at that exact moment. Get him to go over that a few times, this little time span. Get him to go over the 0.92, see? And get him to go over that little time span. Over. What's he doing? Well, he's sitting here braiding some leaves together. Now, unless you go mad and try to find out what's his name, rank, serial number, how many wives does he have at that particular time, because you might be rather embarrassed to find out he was a woman at that particular time, you see. Unless you start going goofy and demanding more than the PC has got, you will get exactly what is there and exactly what he's doing. He's like sitting there braiding leaves, and after a while, as you develop it a little bit further, you're working a picture. Now, you have to work this for quite a while and work a fairly decent span to get the consciousness which was present in that picture, too. And get the memory which was present in the picture. We're asking a little bit too much because the thing is just a picture, don't you see? But you work that span over, and let's work over one of those years from beginning to end, over and over and over and over and over, and eventually you will even develop some consciousness. If you keep doing this with just one year span, working it over very carefully, you would even redevelop language. If nothing horrible happened in that year, you would for sure do it. If your auditing was absolutely smooth. Now, there is a test of auditing. You're handling all the elements of auditing. Nothing happened. There was nothing alarming occurred at that particular period you're going through, you see. There's nothing to upset the person. Now, therefore, the only upset that can be present is you. Now, if you can do that action that smoothly and that calmly and just get somebody to do that without introducing any fal-de-ral or blang-blang, then I think you could audit an engram very well for that period, don't you see? Because now you've got an unwillingness of the PC, slight unwillingness. He didn't want to confront this. He really will, but for your sake, but... You put the engram in front of him, you say, all right, now, go through this now, kind of playing the Itzemaker over this and tell me, oh, what is it, you know, it's a. He starts, he gets a somatic, see? That told him he better not it, see? You've got to get him persuaded, you know, a little bit more. It's another somatic, put the tension. He's not quite sure he wants to. That thing's hot. All right, well, for your sake, I'll go back to the beginning of it again, you see. He's being actually punished for going over this period of the track. Well, you know, he's getting a pain in his epiglottis or something, see? Every time he goes through this thing, and it's developing worse, and he actually felt very sad afterwards, and he didn't want to face all those tears. So that requires a little bit higher grade of auditing, doesn't it? The auditor now has got to be pretty purely straight. He can't be... He can't be dropping his E-meter in between the scanner and the bank, you see. He can't be clubbing the PC around and failing to take the ITSA and having a lot of trouble writing down his auditor report while he is auditing the PC. He hasn't mastered the ability, you see, to make some notes while talking to the PC, you see. These little things he hasn't mastered. He's having trouble with all these things, you know. Nobody polished his brassy, so therefore he's hooking into the woods. You know? But this is no time for that kind of thing to be happening. Not while you're running through this engram with R3R. All right, now let's go a little bit further. Let's plonk the guy, thud, into a goal which was supposed to solve problems which would have caused, and probably did cause, several nervous breakdowns. Plunk him into the middle of a GPM and put him into the totality of a confusion that got him killed at least 15,000 times. One RI. See? About 15,000 deaths in this RI, all of them painful. You say, oh, cheerily, cheerily, go on, confront it. All right, it's a, yeah, it's a, what goal do you think you've got? What's the RI? What are the two top RIs? Oh, yeah, you think they are, huh? Oh, well, that's fine, we'll take those. What are the next RIs? You got any other goals of your own? Oh, well, just go on through it. You sure you're there? Oh, you're trying to tell me about it. Well, I'm sorry I interrupted you and so forth. So a doorbell rang. You don't mind. I'll come back in a moment. Yeah. What were you saying now? Yeah. Well, I don't think so. That doesn't seem like that to me. I really think that the goal might have been some other kind of goal. I think you had probably some other reason to have postulated than what you're saying. I'm just trying to give you an example of the raised corn. Nothing like that would ever occur. Well, what do you think would happen to the PC, man? Now, you're handling the same tools. It's just how much nitroglycerin in each one of them. How leery is the PC of putting his attention on that particular stretch of bank? Well, anything that killed him 15,000 times would kind of seem a little bit grim. He'd have to have considerable confidence in his auditor that nothing weird was going to happen here before he could put his attention on this thing and be free of his environment enough to submerge out. Right? All right, now you're going to put his attention on that, and this is no time to be putting his attention on eight other things. Now, PCs do take tours for their through their banks. And PCs do suddenly pick up items and give you. And PCs do cognite on goals. And all of these things happen. And often they are right. And often when they tell you why they have an ARC break, they're right. And they're often wrong, too. And after they've told you what the GPM is, you find out it's an actual goal, but not a GPM. And after they've told you the RI, you find out that's just a lock on a lock on a lock on a lock of an RI. You see, this stuff is just is precision stuff. All right. Now, the PC, in his effort to please you and handle the bank and so forth, is forbidden to cut and not give you all of those things which he's got, and is discouraged from giving them to you by finding that they're very often wrong. You have cut down the PC's ability to confront. Now, that's one of the things the PC's got to have there, man. That PC's got to be able to confront, because the ITSA maker only works on those things the PC is willing to confront. And when the PC is not willing to confront something, he can't get his attention on it, and he will buck, and he will tell you that he can't go into it. And God help you if you try to force him into it, too. God help you, I won't. Don't Don't ever force a PC on this stuff, man. If the PC can't go, there's something wrong. Always true. PC can't go, there's something wrong. Now, you don't want this PC wandering all over the track, and you don't want this PC itching a bunch of stuff he shouldn't have, and if you stop the PC from itching things, you cut down the confidence of the PC in looking at that bank, and therefore you cut down your ability to direct the PC's line, because you're invalidating that PC's itch-a-making line, and you're invalidating it all the time, all the time, and so therefore the PC is soon not going to be able to look at all. And, oh man, this is a one-man band proposition. You see the elements it's made out of. This is no time to be wondering, where is the switch that turns on the E-meter? You get my point. Now, I'm not saying it is difficult. I'm saying that you make it difficult, or you will make it difficult. And that is the whole thing. The PC will only have difficulty on what he can confront and do if you make a considerable difficulty for the PC. All the difficulties from that point are made. These are easy things to do. But they start out with being able to handle the PC's itza, encourage the PC's itza, get the PC to increase his itza, be able to handle the PC's bank, be able to handle these various factors in a session, get real comfortable in that, and then you start gearing up into this other stuff. And now there are various things which you really have to be able to swing in and do. And those things you have to swing into have to be done rapidly and accurately. You do a goals list, learn how to right-click. Go get that goal down, man. Don't go saying, just a minute, I haven't caught up yet. We're usually a PC, if it's pointed out to him that he's giving goals too fast, simply slows down. PC gets used to it. You don't have to be able to take it all in shorthand. But don't try his patience like, man. And when you get that goals list down, be able to read the thing back. Be able to write a goals list and never make a mistake on whether or not the goal read on the meter. Keep your tone arm record while you're doing so. These are all one-man band actions, but they're all extraneous to the basic things of auditing. Can you sit there and handle a PC? Well, can you sit there and handle a PC? Well, you can sit there and handle a PC and do a bunch of other complicated actions at the same time. It's a one-man band proposition. Funny part of it is, you do any of those actions well, you finally come out at the other end and you say, what the hell was I worried about? There's nothing to list in a goals list and getting a PC, you don't. There's nothing to list in item lists. There's nothing to keeping the PC's itza in. There's nothing to these things. What have I been worried about all this time? Somebody's going clear as a bell. Somebody's rolling right on down the line. No, the additives. I think this time I will cross my hands and interlock the little finger and the index finger of the two hands, and then if I bring around the club this way, perhaps I will be able to cure my hook. I'm afraid you will look back eventually when you've batted one 250 yards down the fairway and say, for heaven's sakes, what am I doing? In actual fact, golf is a very difficult game compared to auditing. It's much more difficult. There's a lot more freaks and things that can go wrong involved in it. Level 4 is formal auditing. Very, very smooth formal auditing, done with great speed and rapidity. You use speed and rapidity to overcome the PC's idea of wander. You keep out of trouble by never forcing the PC where the PC can't go. You fill in the itza every possible opportunity you can. You got a nice long list you've just done. See, an item list. I say a nice long item list. It had 20 items on it, see? Before you got one that could with RR, see? Long items list and so forth. You've read this item back and it's gone, pew! You say, all right, is this your item? Is this your item here? Tree rovers, is that your item? Oh, yeah, that's it. Well, you don't you say another word then. Don't cut his Itzeline by any action whatsoever. Let him sit there and cogitate. Let him look at the thing. Let him feel on it. Let him cognite on the thing for a while. He stays introverted for a little while. Just you be silent. Let him do it, see? All right, when he's all through and he's got all that cognition out of the road and so forth, take the list you just did and shove it over in front of him and say, how do these other items relate to it? Is that the main item on that list? Of course, he has to look at all these other locks. Compare these other locks. You see the tone arm pump up and down and go back and forth. Promote yourself a lot of TA action out of it. Oh, yeah, this would and that would and the other thing would, and those two top items, they must belong to something else because they wouldn't. But this does. This solves all the other items. Yeah, that's the common denominator to it. Sort of proves to him he's gotten down to the center of the thing, see? It's he himself saying so. Yeah, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. All right, he's done all that. He said everything he said about that. He studied that list all of he wants to. You know doggone well. This whole action, by the way, of his cognition and everything else, took 3 1/4 minutes. The auditor wasn't doing a blessed thing. He takes that list back, looks it over. He'll see by this time that his tone arm is starting to rise. That tone arm hasn't got any more blow on it because of that item, see? His tone arm now is starting to rise, and he's back there, lickety-split. In other words, he drives like mad. All right, here's your question. Who or what would resolve tree rovers? Bow-wow, bow-wow-wow, 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 bow-wow-wow. He said 2 or 3. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Got it. Got it. You think the item's on the list by now? Oh, yeah, I guess it has. Otherwise, you'd go around corners, see? All right. Good. I just know this list if it's all right with you. Bow, 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 bow. That's fine, all right. Bow, 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 all right. Monkeys, is that your item? Yeah. Oh, you're not doing a thing. Right? Yeah, monkeys. Yeah, that's it. All right. How the rest of these items relate to monkeys? All right, is that your item? Well, I don't know. I thought the earlier item was your item. Oh, you thought the earlier item was. Oh, all right, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll just see what we can do about that. See what we can do about that, you see? Wind. I'll see if we can get it. See if we can get it here. Wind. I tell you what, let's list just a little bit longer and see if it fires. Bow, 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 bow. All right. Wind. Hey, that fires. Is that your item? All right, that's fine. How does these other items relate? Well, those other items, no, and I listed around a corner there and so forth. That upper item, that's it. Wind's all right. Fine. That rocket red, it blew down. Everything's fine. I compound it by telling the PC I always could able to get a little bit more after the PC has said it's his item, after the PC has said it relates to all other items, after the PC's got it all sorted out, and after it's all square with the PC, then I tell the PC it's his item. And I'll always get another half a tone arm division. Yeah. That's a one-man band proposition. There's no time to be hauling around and wondering about Itza. So in your lower levels, get very confident. Get up to a point, Itza, Snitza. Nothing to that. Move the bank, move the PC's attention. We want some tone arm action. Here's 45 divisions. Swish. Got the idea? Not worried about it. Because look, that is just kindergarten. To that, you've got to add up, and a great delicacy and a great perception of what a PC's doing. All these things come on top of those basic skills. You probably have to break a lot of bad habits, such as the way to run level 4. I know how to run level 4. You sit back and you look at the PC. And let him talk about his goals and GPMs. I know how to run level 4. Well, you very soon will find out you don't know how to run level 4 because it's the greatest discipliner in the world. But once you've learned how to run it, once you've learned how to handle a PC, once you've learned how to handle a bank, there's actually very little to learning the rest of it. And you wind up at the other end of it wondering, how in the name of God did I ever think this was complicated? What's so complicated about this? There's nothing complicated about this. This is awful easy. But sometimes it takes a long time to get to that point. Sometimes you arrive at that point, and I'll tell you the fast way to do it. Do it. Thank you.